Awesome job, ladies. Job chapter 37. Job chapter 37. Yes, that's where I was intending to go. Pastor did not surprise me. Job chapter 37. You say, when is this ever going to be over? I've gotten a couple of those statements. Well, when are you going to be done with Job? Well, I've got a few more chapters. I'm not going to stop now. That's like getting most of the way through the book and then forgetting to read the end. Would you like that in the Christian walk? Getting mostly to the end and then, oh, we're going to skip eternity. Don't want to do that. I mean, there's so much good about God that we're going to learn about. And tonight is really, really good. At least I think so. We'll see if you think so. But I titled this Stop and Consider. And I got that from verse number 14. And you should be able to see it up on the screen here. Hearken unto this, O Job, stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. Have you done that lately? Stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. You know what I love, especially in November, is something that we call a praise and pie service, okay? There is a win-win situation here. We get to praise God, and we get to eat pie. And pie is one of the best things that God ever created. I don't know if you knew that, but it is. In fact, at Dayton Center, they got so tired of hearing about pie. They're like, oh, here's another pie thing. Oh, I said it all the time, okay? And sometimes I just had them show up on my doorstep, which I'm not, you know, like Pastor really likes gnomes and flamingos. I like pies, okay? So if those show up in my office, good. If they need to be refrigerated, just let me know. Put a note on my door, you know, and I'll share with them on his cheat day. Yeah, cheat day, right? Anyway, but it says here, stop and consider the wondrous works of God. I love being able to hear other people praise God. But all he's doing in their life. I love, and maybe we could do this sometime, okay? It has to go through pastor first. It's just taking a service and allowing people to give their salvation testimonies. We did that one time, and we went over. That's usually the only time they allow you to go over the time allotted is when other people are talking, okay? But we would sing a few choruses, and then people would talk about how God brought them to him through interesting avenues. We had one lady that she said, there was this lady from a church that kept showing up and trying to talk to her dad, and her dad would just watch the TV the whole entire time that this lady is talking to him about God. The whole entire time. I mean, I don't know how patient I would be in order to talk to somebody while they're watching the TV at the same time. Like, I'm done, I'm out, you know? But this lady kept showing up and talked to him, and she ended up going to church along with this lady and ended up getting saved, and she had been in church ever since. I'm thinking, wow, what a unique experience. But there was other things that just happened all throughout the time of Dayton Center. And can you imagine, can you look back and all the things that God has done with Grace Baptist Church? The church as a whole, through the good times and the bad times. There's always both. There is never a church where there is only perfect times, okay? There is always trials that we walk through. And you can say, well, they're not necessarily bad times because God gives every good and perfect gift, right? But there's just tough times. But as you get in through this, I mean, sometimes we just need to turn off our phone, turn off the TV, turn off whatever electronic device that we have. Put whatever you have in your hands down. Shut off all the things that's going on all around us, because there's a whole lot of talk, isn't there? Everywhere. And nobody knows what's going on. Nobody. To a perfect extent. There's just a you get it from one side, and then you get it from the other side, and it's just my mind is constantly going back and forth. I don't know if this is what's going on in your mind, and it's like, what's going on here, and what's going on there, and how do I deal with this here, and sometimes we just got to shut that off, put it off to the side, cast out all the bitterness and the anger that we have inside of us, and stop. Consider the works of God. There's one thing at Northland that they had correct. There's many other things. But one thing that they really had correct was that every Monday we have a Works of God chapel. And I loved it when Daco would get up and he'd tell us, he said, listen, don't be taking up the whole entire hour in order to talk about you. Be concise. Know how to land the plane, but talk about God and all that he's done. What's fresh? What has God done? And we listen to story after story of people just all of a sudden going to their mailbox, and then there was a check in there or some cash, or for a college student, if there was ramen in your mailbox, you were excited. I mean, oh, I got something, you know. Junk mail was exciting in college, you know. Now, not anymore. It's like finally the election and the political mail is finally over with. I wonder how much money is spent on all that jazz. Anyway, you'd think that they could go towards something else, but anyway, we'll put that to the side, okay? But I loved hearing these Works of God chapels. I mean, it was consistent for, you know, the 45 minutes or 50 minutes that we had, just talking about all the things that God has done. Whether it's just, I woke up and I saw the sunshine and it was just a blessing today. To the There was even talk of there's this one girl that would just give weird testimonies. She woke up one day and she's like, oh, I am just hankering for mashed potatoes. And she showed up in the dining hall and there was mashed potatoes. She was so excited about that. And she had to tell the whole entire chapel that there was mashed potatoes in the dining commons that day. And I mean, just things that God had blessed with them with. Not, oh, I got up today and I was so spiritual. No, God is an amazing God. What has he done in your life today? What are the blessings that can be found through today? How great is your perspective on that? And you know, as Elihu jumps in here and he talks about this, stop and consider. He goes on into 37, continuing the conversation. Because remember, Elihu did not put chapter 36 and chapter 37 on these and split it apart. That wasn't something that he did. His speech went from, you know, the several chapters that he was involved with here. So 36 going into 37, we had just talked about how God he starts working throughout creation, and that conversation is continuing through. Remember how at times he rains judgment, and with the same thing, same trial, he also gives great abundance. And even in the hard times, we could still come up to God's table and eat. And we can find joy in that. And it goes from there. And getting into chapter 37, it talks about how God is just absolutely amazing in how he creates the different weather patterns and how there's warmth and there's cold and there's ice and there's rain, there's clouds, there's thunder, there's lightning. And he's talking about all of these things to present how powerful, how majestic, how incomprehensible, how sovereign our God is. Why? Because we need to know all of these things about our God in the midst of a trial. And when we have no idea and we keep asking, why is this happening to me? Why is this coming into my life in this moment? Why is this happening to America? Why? I mean, that's always the question that they're asking here, or that we ask. But maybe, instead of asking why, maybe this truth that he presents here tonight is going to move us into start asking questions about who. From why to who. And who are we going to talk about? God. God. And in fact, Elihu, it's interesting. Go over to chapter 38 and verse 1. This isn't on the screen, so you're just going to have to use your Bible and turn to it, okay? Sometimes we need to practice turning the pages in our Bible anyway. In verse 1, it's interesting how Elihu paves the way for God. Then the Lord answered Job out of the what? Whirlwind. What has Elihu been talking about before in 36 and now into 37? He's going to be talking about the wonders of creation and how God uses the weather. And then all of a sudden, God shows up in a whirlwind right in front of their face. I don't know how it happened, okay? I don't know if while Elihu is talking, all of a sudden the storm starts coming in. And God just gave him the perfect example, and then God started speaking through the whirlwind. I have no idea what happened, but all of a sudden, as Elihu is stating this, God comes in and just gives them the physical example right in front of their face. Have you ever had that happen when you're trying to explain something to someone, and then all of a sudden, something happens like that, right there, just like that. Do you see it now? It's right in front of your face. We need to know that about our God. We need to see God work in our life. Not just talk about it 47 years ago, but what is God doing right? See it? See, God's, he's right there. Don't you see him working through this situation? This is what comes out in 38. So as we go in here from why to who, we start here in verse 1. And it starts here, it says, at this also my heart trembleth and is moved out of his place. Have you ever had your heart skip a beat? Maybe, yeah, that's why I had to get a pacemaker or something else. We have an AED out there, so if it's something physically wrong with you, just let us know. Or maybe your spouse needs to let us know. I don't know. We'll figure it out soon. But have you ever been scared half to death and your heart just jumped? A couple of months ago, I was in a room just down here, just hanging out, and Pastor walked in. I was like, "Oh, hey, how's it going?" And he jumped. And I don't know what happened, you know, before that. We're not going to talk about that. But anyway, he just jumped. Whoa, whoa. And sometimes he just comes around the corner super fast. You know how, like, Pastor, he's so tall that he takes one step and he goes a mile. And I have to take 50 steps in order to keep up with him. But he could just whip around the corner and I, you know, I'll be in spiritual mode, you know. Right, that's how it works. I'm studying. Pastor, stop doing that to me. Warn me. Say, I'm coming down the hallway, right? I'm coming. Has it ever happened to you where something happened right in front of you and wow. Is that the way it's supposed to work? Maybe it was when you first saw your spouse. And all of a sudden, you saw her. She's the one, right? And she looked at me. She's got to be the one. That's how it happens at Bible college. You look at them, and you know, oh, here comes the finger, the ring for the finger here. So just hand it over. We're getting married. You looked at me. I wonder if that's happening with Tyler right now. What? What's wrong, Carlton? She's of age. She can get married. It's fine. What's the big deal, Carlton? But anyway, he talked to me. Oh, I got my MRS degree, right? You know, that type of thing. That's what she's looking for, right? It's worth all the money, right? Okay, maybe he's going to be mad at me later. But anyway, but just think about that. It just, my heart just jumped out of my chest. At this also my heart trembleth and is moved out of his place. Verse 2, hear attentively the noise of his voice and the sound that goeth out of his mouth. He directeth it under the whole heaven and his lightning unto the ends of the earth. Now, how did you explain thunder and lightning to your kids? Okay, or how is it explained to you? Oh, God's bowling up in heaven. There he is. He must have got a strike that time. Oh, just one pin down. Oh, that was probably a gutter. I don't know if God could do gutters, but anyway. Did you ever have it explained like that? Or maybe there was other things that you got explained. But what he's saying here is that with the thunder, it's as if God's voice, the audible voice, is right there. It's with his voice that it comes, and he directed the whole heaven. Sometimes, have you ever thought how it is to direct a choir? I've tried and failed at doing that. That's why pastors does it. You know, and I try to do this thing with my hands and it always goes the wrong way. I can't even direct the hands right, and then everybody else is going off in their own different thing. They got their own thing going on, right? It's hard to control a choir. It's hard to control my children, you know. They make their own decisions, right? During the service, did you notice my children? We had to leave the service this morning, and by the way, that's an okay thing that children speak during a service, I guess. But my daughter, she was just so happy. Shh. You know, a one-year-old just doesn't quite get shh, you know. She's just happy. How could you be mad at someone being happy like that, right? It's hard to control her. And yet, God, he directeth the whole heaven. All over the place, all over the world, he's directing the weather. His lightning into the ends of the earth. After it, a voice roareth. He thundereth with the voice of his excellency, and he will not stay them when his voice is heard. There is no hindering of that voice whenever he speaks audibly. Nobody can shush God. Nobody can stay him. It's coming. God thundereth marvelously with his voice. Great things doeth he which we cannot comprehend. For he saith to the snow, be thou on the earth. Amen. Just from the one. Okay. Likewise to the small rain and to the great rain of his strength. He sealeth up the hand of every man, that all men may know his work. Then the beasts go into the dens and remain in their places. You say, what's going on here? And through the weather, God is working all over the place, and he's directing the small rains and the big rains, the small winds and the big winds. And you know, I've gotten a lot of that this past week. Did any of you have windblown hair this morning? Some of you, if you would have jumped up in the air, it would have taken you right with the wind, right? But yesterday, I had a free day. I was going to work on my fence yesterday. That didn't work out so great. God showed me that he really didn't want me outside much yesterday. Why? Because it was raining. And just when you got to where you needed to start digging some holes and getting some things done, whoosh, it comes crashing down, all this rain. Oh, I guess I'm going to go inside, right? Or during the snow, have you ever been shut up into your house because of the snow and blizzards, ice storms? What do we say? Well, back in 2006, you remember that one? I remember that my dad was gone basically the whole entire time, because when you work for a utility company, you're gone when there's a blizzard. And everybody was calling our home, hey, could you get the electricity back on? You think I have any control over that? I was 16. I don't work for Ameren, and my dad can't even control that, because he has to go with whatever comes in. He has to go by the work order. It's not like he can come over to Awanico. Well, Awanico's more important, right? But we were getting calls all the time. But, you know, and we were stuck inside, couldn't go to school. Yes, all right? And there's ice everywhere, and we'd have to keep the fireplace going just to keep the warmth. And I don't know what happened to you, But in 2013, we had the same kind of thing in Michigan. It was my first like eight Sundays. I had canceled first like eight Sundays at Dayton. I had canceled like five services. It was crazy. They were starting to threaten my check, but I canceled the Christmas program. I had to cancel it because we had a huge ice storm. Somebody showed up at our house at like 5:36 and starts knocking on the door. I'm like, what's going on? I'm trying to turn on switches and figure out what's going on. It was one of the guys from the church. He says, I don't think we're having services today. I said, why? He says, well, did you try your light switch? Yeah. He says, there's trees down everywhere. It was such a bad ice storm. And so, okay, I guess I got to cancel it because there was trees down everywhere. And we were out in the middle of nowhere. And for sure, they're not going to take care of you before all the big stuff's going on. And so we ended up heading for Minnesota in that big ice storm. And there was people that came over and plugged in a generator for us while we were gone, because we went to Minnesota where it was 30 below, because it's so exciting, you know, for that kind of cold weather. But you know what happens? You just want to go inside. You say, well, why are you giving us all these examples here? It's just because God uses certain things where he's in control, and there's times when you can't work anymore. You got to go inside. God's still in control. God's still watching over everything. But there's times when we have to go inside. There's seasons that God is in control of, that it talks about how the beasts go the beasts go into dens and remain in their places. What is that? There's hibernation. There's ways when they have their seasons just like we do. There's harvest season, and then other seasons all throughout that God is in control of, and we just got to follow suit. Can we control that? Can we control the rains? I imagine a lot of farmers would love to do that. They would love to patent that invention, but guess what? They cannot control that. That's our God. The amazing God, the majestic God, the incomprehensible God, he's amazing. And he's the one that controls that. You go on, it says, out of the south cometh the whirlwind and cold out of the north. By the breath of God, frost is given. And the breadth of the waters is straightened. Now, in that straightened, it goes back to that same term that we used in the last chapter where it's kind of put into stress. It's closed in. It's oppressed. And what is that talking about? It's when it ices up, when it's pushed together and it's not going anymore. It's constricted to where it's not flowing any longer. And he says, there's that season where the frost and the ice is coming. He says, also by watering, he wearieth the thick cloud. He scattereth his bright cloud. The rain clouds come in, and then you have your different clouds that happen. You've got your cumulus and your cumulus nimbus, and then you've got your stratus. And I don't remember the rest of them. But anyway, there's some that come, and there's some that go. That's how God works. You're saying, what does this have to do with Job's trial? It has everything to do with Job's trial. You'll find out. It goes on in verse 12. And it is turned round about by his counsels, that they may do whatsoever he commandeth them upon the face of the world and the earth. He causeth it to come, whether for correction or for his land or for mercy. You're going back to that same idea that this rain could bring totally different perspectives for different people. For some, for the farmer, when they need the rain, they're excited about it. But for others who have no home, they're not so excited about it. Someone has a leaky roof, that's not so exciting for them. But for others who are trying to get their garden to grow, that's exciting. He's saying in this sense that at times, sometimes it's for correction. You say, well, how does God use weather to correct people? Well, has he ever gotten your attention with weather? Like there was a tornado a few years ago. I believe it was December 1st. And some of you were affected by that. Did it maybe freak you out just a tiny bit when that tornado was coming through? Did it concern you at any moment? What was it trying to get my attention? Well, were you crying out to God in your foxhole? God, what's going on here? God, do you know what's going on? I'm just crying out to you because I can't control this tornado, and just God, hold my house together. Or just let it go over, or just keep my family safe, or afterwards, say, God, I need my garage fixed. How are you going to provide for that? God, this is your garage. Need you to fix this. Or my house, I need you to fix that. Or my shed that got blown over, 3 miles down the road. Have you ever gotten one of those metal sheds from like Walmart that are only about this tall and this wide? I got one for our house up north, and it's really windy where we were at. We were up on a hill, and it was wind constant. And they said, you better weigh that down. I said, oh, I'm getting to it. Well, I didn't get to it fast enough. And that thing started rolling. So we came back home. There it was in the middle of the yard, in the wrong middle of the yard. Okay, so I put it back, and I had to bend some metal back to where it needed to be. And then I was like, okay, well, maybe this will work. So I put a whole bunch of weight in it. Guess what? That wind was way stronger than that metal shed. And it happened a second time. This time, it didn't last. There was no way of bending it back into place. Guess what? It just became scrap metal. That's all it became. Neil would have been happy at that moment if he was, you know, still had the scrap yard. And that's where it's like, man, this wind, it's taking it this way and that way. And in the moment, it gets your attention. Say, what if this is judgment for sin in my life? Well, if it's for you, I can't come in and say, well, God brought this tornado on your life for judgment. I can't really say that because I don't know your heart. But it could be. What comes to your mind in the middle of a life-threatening situation with weather? What comes to your mind? Does it come to your mind that there is some sin in my life that I want to get taken care of before I meet Jesus? Maybe that's a moment where I just need to stop and ask for forgiveness, repent of that sin. In fact, not maybe, you should. Maybe it's going to take a bit of weather in order to get your attention. Tuesday, we were up in Galesburg. And all of a sudden, people's phones start going off, and it was a weather warning for a tornado. And you looked outside, and a torrential downpour, if I could say, is raining cats and dogs, and then the building started making noises, and the only thing that I could think in this moment, well, there's two things. One, I've only got liability on my van. Okay, and then the other thing is, this is the way it's going to go. There's like 50 pastors here. We're going to be in the newspaper. The church just fell down on 50 pastors, and we're going to be the headlines. Those are the two things that were coming through my mind. Liability, and this thing's going to come down on our heads, right? Because it was just, I mean, the building was creaking, and it got my attention. Why does it get our attention? Is it for something that we need to be taking care of in our lives? Sometimes it is for correction. Back when Hurricane Katrina happened, one of the things that pastors started preaching about was there was some gay pride parade that was going on in the middle of that area. That was the day, and God shut that down. Was that it? Was that the reason why Hurricane Katrina came through? I have no idea. That's for God to figure out. He's the one that's in control. But if it's something that he's trying to get your attention with, maybe not somebody else's, but your attention with, maybe I need to back up and start taking care of that. But he says it's for correction. Just for the fact that his land, the land that he created, needs to be watered sometimes. He needs to take care of it because he's over it. He's the one that sustains it. And then also for mercy. When we're given the blessing of the rains, or if you're in pastor's shoes, the snow, when you're given that blessing, you're thinking, wow, I do not deserve for God to bless me with this rain. I don't deserve for God to remind me with snow how white he made me with the cleansing of the blood. Have you ever thought about that? Even some of the things that he shows us through his creation are reminders and his mercy, and shows us how wonderful our God is. So with everything, there's multiple perspectives of how God uses those things. You go on in verse 13, he says, so what is it pointing to? Well, hopefully it's pointing to the fact that instead of us constantly questioning why don't we start asking questions about who? Who is our God? What has he done? Has what he has done affect me in dealing with my trials? if he controls all this weather all over the United States, all over the world, can he control my circumstances? Can he make them what he wants them to be made? Can he use them in the way that he wants them? Does he have purpose behind it? Get into the second point. We'll round off this chapter. And I titled this, Looking Directly into the Sun, which I don't advise, by the way. Okay? It kind of hurts. Or have you ever watched a video of somebody welding? You know, I think it's interesting how they've got these videos of people welding when they have a mask on their face, but you don't while you're watching the video. And all of a sudden this bright light comes and, oh, I got to turn away. I'm gonna fast forward through that. Have you ever tried to look in something so bright like that? You go into verse 14, it says, hearken unto this, O Job. Listen up, stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. Dost thou know when God disposed them and caused the light of his cloud to shine? Dost thou know the balancings of the clouds, how they just hang there? I mean, have you ever measured that out? Have you figured that out? I mean, it's hard enough for us to hang a picture straight. And God hangs those clouds in the sky and moves them where he wants. And when I do hang that picture, my wife says, no, that's not centered. No, and then I got to take it down and put it in a different spot, right? Has anybody ever dealt with that before? Okay, you know, you say, God, he knows exactly where to put it. Do we fully understand how he works? And it goes on, it says, verse 16, it says at the end, the wondrous works of him which is perfect in knowledge. Again, relating back to that passage that he talked about in chapter 36. Now he described God, but in verse 17, how thy garments are warm when he quieteth the earth by the south wind. When your clothes start to warm up, when that warm wind comes through. Verse 18, hast thou with him spread out the sky, which is strong, and as a molten looking glass, as that reflection is there. Have you ever tried to look into the glass while there was a deep reflection of a light? You got to turn away. And he says, were you there when he spread that out? And when you're looking up into the sky, I have to wear sunglasses anymore. I don't know about you. When I was a kid, I didn't wear sunglasses. Now I have to wear them. Because when I look up into the sky, it's bright. And I'm doing this. When my wife loves to have family pictures, was that the best way is to be looking into the sun for family pictures. And I'm going like this. Well, it gets good light. Yeah, but my eyes, I can't see. You know, it's difficult. And you're thinking as you look up into it, and were you there? Did you help them spread that sky out? Verse 19, teach us what we shall say unto him. For we cannot order our speech by reason of darkness. So what do I mean by that? With darkness, you don't have the whole picture. It's kind of like in the middle of the night, you have to get up to go to the bathroom. Anybody ever have problems with that? And you say, I can do this. I don't even have to turn on the light switch here. I could just go in, and all of a sudden you stub your toe on the bed frame, and then you cry out, and then you wake up your wife. What's going on? You know, what are you doing up? And well, I have to go to the bathroom. Just leave me alone. Go back to sleep. And then you hit something else because you don't understand where everything's at. You've had your bedroom set up the same exact way for 40 years. I don't get the pleasure of that. See, my wife likes to change it up every 3 weeks, okay? You know, she's got to change it up. You know, if it's the bowls are here next week, the bowls are up here, right? Because she's got to change it up. And then I go to that cabinet. Where's it at? Where'd the bowls go? Well, it's always been over here. No, it hasn't. You just changed it. I'm directionally challenged. You're throwing me off. You know, the bedroom's got to change. The kitchen's got to change, whatever. So when there's misunderstandings, when you don't know where everything's at, how could you actually give instruction? He says, teach us your ways when you don't know all of the truth. Have you ever had a child tell you what to do? They think that they know what needs to happen? As a counselor at Camp Assurance, I'd have kids just run past me and start running off on different trails, and I'd just stand there and wait. And then they'd stop, they'd turn around, what's wrong? I said, do you know where we're going? No. Well, then you should probably follow so I can show you where we are going. Say, teach me your ways, except for how can you do that if you don't know it all? He goes on, it says, shall it be told him that I speak? If a man speaks, surely he shall be swallowed up. Let me go tell God how it's supposed to be done. Oh, wait a minute. Do I really want to do that? Do I want to boss God around? Do I want to tell him how it should be? Well, this is America and we were built on... How many nations have risen and fallen? Do I want that for America? No, I want America to be built on God. One nation under God. I'd love for that to happen. I'd love for that to be our motto as a nation. Will that continue to happen? As you look out around you, it doesn't look like that. Does that change my job as a Christian? No. My job as a Christian is this is the nation here that I want to pursue God with, and I'm going to try to help others in America know what that is. All over the globe, I want them to know about our God and how amazing He is. But I can't just say, God, you don't know what you're doing with America. I think He does. I know He does. As it goes on, it says, now men see not the bright light which is in the clouds, but the wind passeth and cleanseth them. What is this bright light? The sun breaking through. Fair weather cometh out of the north with God, His terrible majesty. The sun breaking through the clouds. How many of you have a spouse? Hold on, stop the vehicle. Gotta get that. And they post it on Facebook or something like that. Oh, that was a beautiful sunset. That was majestic. It was amazing. Isn't it amazing to see the sun break through the clouds as you look up and as the clouds clear away? Just get the picture here. Fair weather cometh out of the north with God, His terrible majesty. Touching the Almighty, we cannot find Him out. He is excellent in power and in judgment and in plenty of justice. He will not afflict. There is so much here. He's saying He's not oppressing you here. He's not afflicting you here. Job, look at all of who God is. It says, men do therefore fear Him. At least that should be the response. Men, women, and children should therefore fear Him. He respecteth not any that are wise of heart. Doesn't matter who you are and what you've done and who you think that you are. He's not a respecter of persons. This is our God. So as you get the picture of the clouds opening up, and then the more that the clouds open up, the more of the sunshine comes in. To the point where you can't look up any longer. This is the depiction that He's trying to give you. as it breaks away, you see more and more of who God is. As you look up into the bright clouds, and as the clouds drift away, the more majesty that you understand about who our God is and what he's done and what he will do, as it draws away, the more majestic our God becomes, the more we should be in awe and worship of him. Say, what does this have to do with my trials? If I am that into God and understanding who he is, and I understand that that same God who controls all the weather, who controls the thunder, the lightning, the tornadoes, the hurricanes, the tropical storms, the typhoons, go on and on, blizzards, ice storms, whatever it might be, God directs them. So that means that my trial is not too big for him. It never surprised him. He knew what was going on. He knows that there's different seasons in my life. And he's still an awesome, majestic God that we don't know all of his ways. So that's what all this is here for. The next time that you try to question what God has done in your life, try to look directly into the sun. So you want to damage my eyesight? No, I want you to picture as you try to look up, oh, I can't take it. That's the majesty of God. He's so big and wonderful and majestic and sovereign and good and loving and merciful and long-suffering and gentle. Shall we go on? He is an amazing and a wonderful God that we get to be a part of his family. So we can cry out, Abba, Father. God, I need you. When the sea of life is calm, or nutso. God, I need you. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for all that you give and do. God, you truly are an amazing God. And the more that we focus on your majesty and your awesomeness, God, the less we focus on our trials and what's uncomfortable. God, help us as we continue on down this path, whatever comes next, God, that we just look to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's just take a few moments as he plays.